ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to On Tap with Stephen Bryan.
Damn, is how the shirt says.
This is a series and it's not a podcast, just a series that Brian and I have talked about doing where we can get done here at the racetrack. We can grab a beer, sit back and talk racing, good or bad. It'll give us our kind of platform when the weekend's over to explain ourselves if things didn't go according to plan.
Which never happens.
Yeah, it never happens.
It's always perfect.
In our world, it never happens, but in their world,
it's always perfect.
But right now, we're just sitting here kind of reflecting on the fact that we just had our banquet. I think everything went well. We work really hard. Brian makes all the images, makes all the little pennants. I work on the videos and try to make it, as exciting, as fun as we possibly can and make it. You know, it's short track racing. We get it. But at the end of the day, we want it to feel bigger than it is.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, and people that show up and support us every year, it's always, you never know what you're going to get because we, put the link out there and say, hey, who's all come and sign up so we can plan accordingly. And it's like a few here, a few there. And then at the last minute, they really come. And then this year, Bobby June just said, free for all. I got a facility. Let me provide everything for you guys. Might be a job for you all, but most of our diehard fans and racers are from this area. And he went above and beyond. He did a great job.
100%. It's a great facility. If anyone's ever in the market to go golfing, Hartsville Country Club is the place to go. Bobby works really hard on the greens, the fairways, to make sure they're in tip-top shape. So we're going to get a chance to talk about that a little bit. We're going to have a chance this afternoon on Tap to talk about the future of what we've got going on this season, which is right around the corner.
Very quickly.
February 8th is going to be upon us before too long. So stay tuned, enjoy this first episode of On Tap, and we'll be right back. All right, welcome back to On Tap with Stephen Bryan. We left the break talking about the things we were going to discuss that are coming up for this season, which is right around the corner. Icebreaker, first and foremost, is here. We're sitting as of today, looking at about 22 pre-signed up. I think it's going to end up, if we had to guess, probably in the 30s.
Yeah, I think so. We get some verbal commitments, people to actually go by the jot form. We're at 20, like you said, 2022. The verbal commitments are probably another handful, if not more. And then there's the people that you just don't account for and they just show up. I mean, it's really just kind of taking a toll how far that race has come. And when we started at Myrtle Beach, it was kind of an idea, like, oh, let's just do something at the beginning of the year. Nobody's racing, but they're probably ready to go, get started before the seasons get started. And I think are we on the 10th annual?
This is the 10th, yep.
Yeah, and it's pretty good.
And it is fun to hear for Brian and I's sake. Like I said, this was another thing like Daytona One Beach Madness. It was a beer drinking deal at Myrtle Beach Speedway when – we sat back and said, man, it'd be nice if we had something. We got to wait all the way till March before we ever get started. Nothing's in this time frame. And it was just an idea you and I came up with, mostly you. To hear people now talk about, I got to stop racing to get ready for the icebreaker.
Right.
And I got to get my stuff ready for the icebreaker. So, it's something that was a work in progress. It's here on year 10, but it should be another good field. And I think the thing that's been happening on the icebreaker and the 400 has been the quality of cars. It's not that we have 35 cars. We have 35 cars that could win the race from start to finish.
Yeah, I agree. I think even like some teams, it's just now getting together, like a new driver with a new team. They look at the icebreaker and said, well, we need to see where we stack up before we get going in our seasons, wherever they're racing at. They're racing the car store. They're racing for track championships at South Boston. You know the heavy hitters, the people that you're going to compete with for track championships or series championships will be at the icebreaker. So you can kind of see where you stack up before you even get going.
Yep, and we'll get into here in just a little bit what the icebreaker means for the season. The icebreaker always was kind of the lead up to the NASCAR points. Obviously, this year is going to be a little bit different, but we'll get into all those details here shortly. The one thing I'd like to bring up, and we can talk about a little bit just to kind of get to the world, because that's what this series is supposed to be about, is to Brian and I's chance to explain to everyone why we do things and how we do things. Again, whether you agree with them or not, that's going to be your thing. Brian and I are just going to do the best we can to make Florence Motor Speedway great, or anything that we touch and are involved with great. This year's schedule of events, cars, and why we have the divisions, if you can explain just a little bit of what we've got and why, say, mini socks are not on the series.
Yeah, so our season, our point season always starts off in March. The icebreaker is kind of just an exhibition, a standalone event. And the way we looked at it this year, which we looked at it similar last year as well, because the Smart Modifieds will still be here the first weekend in March. I think it falls on March 1st.
Maybe? Yeah, first. Yep.
Yeah, March 1st this year. So we didn't want to overlap or be too close together, because the Icebreaker, like we just touched on, is an event where you need to see where you're at. What did your off season? How much homework did you put in? How does it show on a track? So some people like need to regroup, need to overhaul everything. So if you race at the Icebreaker, you probably don't need to race that close. You might need a little bit more time. So the divisions that are running February 8th at the Icebreaker will not be running with the modifies on March 1st.
Right.
So the support divisions, I think that plays more to them. I mean, these guys are doing it as a hobby.
Of course.
Like they're working their full-time job, going out in the shop and saying, oh, let's try to get it right. Late model guys is a little different, but and also we don't need late model guys for the modify night, because the modifies, I mean, they show up great.
Right. And so with that, the divisions that are running, late model stocks, street stocks, which Boo Carlisle and the Star Series will be joining us, Super Trucks,
yep.
And then what was the other one?
Limited Late Models.
Limited Late Models, yep. Right. So with that, so going back to what we just talked about a second ago, is this year, you know, we kind of you'll see a press release here shortly. This will be our first year at Florence, actually be our first year since Myrtle Beach. We were NASCAR sanctioned at the beach, weren't we? Since the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So this will be our first year not NASCAR sanctioned. Not in a bad way. Nothing against them. Just wanted to take a year off and kind of look at it a little bit different. Utilize some of our sanctioning fees. Utilize some of our assets to better the racetrack and better the race car drivers and the teams. So this is our first year kind of just going out into the world on our own. And with that, NASCAR sanctioning was always, the Icebreaker was the first points race of the season. This year, it's still the first points race of the season, but it's for the I-95 Showdown. The I-95 Showdown, for those that didn't get a chance to kind of see it on social media, it's something that between Brian, myself, Mike, Mason with Southern National, we've talked about it a lot, but we kind of finally got a chance to put it together where you have a chance to get yourself locked into the 400 and the Classic all in one season without racing all season long. You don't have to put the work in and be at some place every single week. The way we've got it built, and this will kind of come up again here towards the end of the show, the way we've got it built is where the first four races, Icebreaker being the first one, the first four races between us and Southern National, you'll get a points structure. It's on the website. It's on the internet if you're curious about that. But the top four out of those first four races automatically advance to the 400.
Yep, as the top four seats. And it's also good, too, like you touched on, if you don't want to race all year, or even if you are racing all year. Like if you're running a car store, I only think there's one conflicting date.
Yep.
So you can still, this could be a little side pot that you look at for the end of the year. You can do your own, you know, track, you can do your own series, and then also race the I-95 Showdown. But it should be pretty good. But like Steve was touching on, the first four races, if you're in the top in points, you're already transferred to the final round. And then the guys that didn't make it, hey, you're not down and out.
Yep.
Everything resets, and there's a battle back round, and it comes into play. And then we take some more from that, and then the final rounds, I mean, it's going to be pretty interesting. There's your provisionals for the two biggest races, I think, in late models outside of the Valley Star Credit Union.
Yep. Why'd you point that way? So anyways.
Well, I think we'll get there at some point.
But with that, though, you know, one of the most stressful times for Brian and I is – you know, provisionals. You know, this year was another one. We've been fortunate here at Florence for the South Carolina 400 to have enough, or you got to have provisionals. And so what we've done this year is basically kind of lay them all out.
Yep.
So you've got your chance to get them if you'd like to get them. If you don't, you don't.
Right.
So when it gets to the 400 this year, and, you know, we hope we have 60-plus cars again, or we're, you know, near the 60 number, we've given you all year to go X, Y, and Z, but not do it in a crazy way, right? Like not go and have to run 100 races with us and 100 races with Diaz.
Right.
It's just a matter of do X, Y, and Z, and you've got your provisionals. And it takes it out of our hands because, again, people don't understand how much it hurts our feelings provisional-wise, because we're friends with everybody. We love all the racers. We've been a part of this community. Or I have anyways. Brian's been in this short track late model world for a lot longer than I have. But since, 2011, right? The beach when we started?
I think it was 12.
12?
Yep, I think so.
So when we started in 12 at the beach, you know, I became friends with everyone, and, man, I want to see everybody race, but
right.
It just don't work that way.
Yeah, I mean, in a perfect scenario, they all can, like you said. I think, was it last year or maybe the year before, we got 44, and we'd say, okay, it's close enough, let's start everybody.
Yeah, we started everybody.
But when you get 50 and beyond, it's got to get to a point where you also got to look at the other side of defense, the fans.
No, of course.
They don't want to be here all night freezing cold because it's just caution after caution because they're all spread out. It's tough to do because, I mean, on the inside of the fence, that's what really puts the show on. You want to help them guys as much as you can, but we got to draw a line somewhere.
Of course. So we've given a chance, the I-95 showdown, step one. That's going to be 6 provisionals that will be given between us at the 400 as well as the Classic. Yep. So if you do the I-95 showdown, you have a chance to be locked into both races. Now, you don't have to go run the Classic. I would assume you would if you were trying to do that. But it's $7,500 to win our championship with the I-95 showdown.
Yep. Sweep everything, and you've had a nice little end of year.
Yeah, so if you win – if you figured out how to win the 400 at 10,000 and say Mike's place at 10 or 15,000 plus 7,500 in 2 weekends, that's a good 30, payday.
32.5, I believe it is.
Yep. Yeah. So, within that, you know, it goes back to what Brian and I have always talked about. We kind of keep stretching back to the Daytona 1 Beach Madness. It's a race within a race. Yeah. So, when you're a part of that, you could be watching. If everyone understood what was going on during the race, the 400's happening. There's, say, let's call it 40 cars on the field or on the racetrack. And within those 40 cars, there's only 6 that are fighting for that. So they could be fighting in 12th, 13th, 14th, 15th on back, but they're still fighting for something. So it's a race within a race because some races and some days, someone's got it better than you got.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can't win the thing, you'd like to fight for something. So I think this I-95 showdown gives that opportunity. It gives an opportunity to the guys for those first 4 races. If you can't make the midsection, work hard for the first 4 races. Come to our icebreaker. Go to Diaz 1 speed week.
Yeah, the very first of his speed weeks on that Wednesday.
Yep, and then come back to us and then go back to him. So that's the way the first 4 lay out, and then you got 2 more that'll bring back the battle back round, which is a really cool logo that we're excited to bring back from the beach to be a part of. You'll have 2 races, and then we'll take the next 2 from there. So the first 4 that make it from the icebreaker, or from the first 4 rounds of the showdown, they're not eliminated, but they're in.
They're locked in. Yep. They'll be the 1 through 4 seeds, they'll start higher.
Then we'll take the next 2 out of those battle back rounds.
Right.
So you don't have to make the first 4. If you can't make the first 4, great. Middle round, if you want to try to get yourself back in, you'll have the chance without being, kind of behind the 8-ball.
Right. Yep.
So that's the icebreaker in a nutshell. I-95 kind of in a nutshell, right?
I think it's the icebreaker in a nutshell for the late models. And you touched on Boo Carlisle, his series of the street stocks. I mean, he's doing a phenomenal job, I 100%. Think, building street stocks back and building the hype back in the area. Just up the road, Ron does a great job at the Mass Series. I mean, the New Year's Bash is always a good deal.
Yep.
You kind of get a little worried when you have the icebreaker a month after the New Year's Bash. You never seeing cars get tore up. And then when that happens, you hope you're going to get a turnout. But I don't think it's proved as strong in the last couple of years. I mean, street stocks still turn out pretty good.
Yep, that and the truck series, which Brian and I will hopefully get back before too long, because it's disappointing for 2 people that drove in the truck series when it had 20-plus cars every weekend. But whenever we have the icebreaker, we have the 400, there's 17-plus.
I know, they're all out there, man. I remember days at the beach I think it was true that there towards the end of Billy Hardy's stint where there was 5-6 trucks. You know, I mean, it's pretty miserable to watch. Like, I can only imagine. I mean, I was a race fan. I was sometimes, in there racing and seeing them. I was like, yeah, that's cool. But just as a spectator sitting up there, okay, 40 laps for this. I mean, it's got to be pretty miserable. And then we took pride in building that back up.
Oh,
and then we got it up to 20 trucks before we left. And then we migrate over here. And it's good for a little while, and then it falls off. But then when you look at it, like you said, over the toll of the season, the trucks are out there.
Yep.
If they all would show up at one particular time, we would have a pretty good truck count.
Yeah, which goes to us a little bit. We'll figure out what that means because, there's reasons. And, they got families. They got health issues sometimes. They got family problems that they got to deal with. And we as a racetrack, we completely understand that you got things you got to do. We don't expect that you have to be here. We'd love you to be here.
Sure.
So when it's all said and done, we're just doing our part. And these are the things we're talking about between the showdown and what we're about to get into here as far as our point structure for the season. We're doing the best we can to give you a reason, or as a racer, a reason to want to come here. Again, if you don't, it's all good. We appreciate every time you do come. But we want to just give you the opportunity to want to be here. So kind of breaks down the first half of the icebreaker. It breaks down the showdown. I guess ask you to stay tuned here on tap, and we're going to give you a little bit some exciting news of what the point structure is for 2025 here at Florence Motor Speedway. Welcome back to On Tap with Steve and Brian here in our studios, which is the suites at Florence Motor Speedway, which
Sweet seat.
Was a lot of work, but it looks great up here. If anyone's ever interested in joining us for a regular race up in the suite, especially come midsummer, great place to come hang out.
It's a lot cooler, no doubt.
Yep.
Cool right now, obviously. No way I'm dressed.
But we come back to you out of the break, talking about what our regular season looks like for 2025. We had a chance to discuss the icebreaker, the I-95 showdown, what that looked like. But again, we don't ever quit when it comes to anything that we put our efforts into. So one being our short track racing here at Florence, as well as Southern National and a few tracks that we're still working with. But this year, again, we spoke about it earlier that this will be our first year not NASCAR sanctioned. We're going with the Ultra Racing Association. It's something that we kind of put together with ourselves and Mike with Southern National right now. We're the two that are a part of it. It's an exciting time. It's something that can't really be explained yet.
Right.
You know, we're still, it's a work in progress. We had about five tracks involved between us and some others that it looked like it was going to play itself out, but man, there's so many moving parts to a sanctioning body that you can't just do it, because the idea is going to be that all tracks are kind of uniformed. There's somebody at the top that's not us,
sure,
that can make decisions without being biased to any driver or any racetrack. So you know, and then what does that mean to the racetrack? What do they do? So again, we just didn't have the time to put in to make it all work. So we want to stick to just putting it out there. So Ultra Racing Association still is a thing for the drivers here at Florence, for the drivers at Southern National, and stay tuned. At least one other track, I believe, will be under the Ultra Racing Association sanctioning body. You'll get your license if you're part of the top four, just like usual, just like it was before for the years past. And with that, you'll get your discount at the gate, whether it's here, Southern National. And so if you buy your license here, that'll still get you your discount up there. You don't have to buy a new license at Southern National. Once you buy a URA license, it accompanies all of the things, points fund, all the point structure stuff we're about to talk about.
Insurance benefits.
Yep. And then the discount, again, license, non-license. We've always had the license, non-license stuff. Now it's just a little bit different. So if you go to, you know, a different track that calls it NASCAR license or non-NASCAR license, our license obviously will not fit into that platform.
Right.
But if you come to Florence, Southern National, and again, stay tuned for one other, I think will be in line with this, your license in the Ultra Racing Association, sorry, we'll talk about Ultra Broadcasting shortly, Ultra Racing Association, you will get that discount whenever you show up at Southern National or Florence with your license.
Right.
And again, Brian will kind of touch on a little bit here is something we've talked about. It wasn't really anything we wanted to do, I don't think, but we thought it's something that's got a chance to be good for everybody, not just us.
Yep. I mean, I'm very excited about it myself. I think we just sometimes good to branch out, like try your own thing, and like you touched on it, we never want to jump and try to show you the world and can't promise the world. The old expression, Rome wasn't built in a day. We hope we get to where Rome was
at one point.
But it's the baby steps. There's a lot, like you said, a lot of tracks that was interested in it. A lot of tracks are not in it right now. It's all about just getting the baby steps, working through the little kinks, because there's going to be kinks here and there that we got to work through, and I make sure that everything's, you know, the best it possibly can be, because perfection is what we want to strive for. And I always attribute everything, it's like you're taking somebody out on a date. You don't do everything you possibly can do in that first date. Like, no, let's go out and eat. Next time, let's go out and eat, and let's go to a movie. Keep doing more and more, and every time it keeps them excited. It keeps them coming back. And we try to do that same mentality for our racers.
Yeah, of course. And, again, really don't have – we've got a website for it, ultraracingassociation.com. It is live and out there. The online form to sign up and get your license, you know, we're a little bit cheaper, obviously, this year than we were in the past. We've got two license opportunities. You've got your primary, which would be your late model stocks, mm-hmm. and then you've got your secondary license, which will be anything chargers, trucks, mini stocks, and then anyone that wants to save $10 or $15 at the gate,
which used to be a crew license. Yeah.
So our crew license, you'd just get that secondary one, and you'll save money at the gate. And I spoke about it at the drive or at the banquet, is that if you actually do the math, if you come to all the races, you'll save over $150 by buying the license. So when you get here, you're saving $15. You do 10 races, it's $150. That's $75 that you saved by paying $75, and that just counts just 10 races. That doesn't count all the other events we have or going to Southern National and all that.
That's right, man. Everybody comes to the gate, and like if you feel like you're really going to be good or you're dedicated because you have a sponsor commitment, you're going to run all season. But sometimes you come up to the gate, you don't have aspirations to run more than one time, but you have a good run. And what's a good run, dude? Oh, well, we're going to go back. Like, we finished second or third, or we were in competition. We have a longer race, and the next race just happens to be longer. You're going to come back.
Yep.
So, I mean, it probably plays dividends to go ahead and get a license.
Yep. And we're also, with this new sanctioning stuff, we understand that you might not have $75 right now, or you might not have an extra $100 to pay for. So we've talked about that. If you're a racer, we'll definitely take it out of the payout. And then you'll have, Brian and I are going to come up with a deadline that you have to purchase your license by this time to be part of your top four divisions when it comes to points fund or, you know, what other things we're about to talk about shortly. But it's going to be something that you have to have your license before you get to a certain point. Otherwise, you do not get all of the benefits of being a licensed
right,
member.
Right, yeah. Verbal commitments do a lot, helps us prepare, but they can only go so far.
Correct. Yeah, so if you want to be a part of the things we're about to talk about here shortly, you need to get your license for URA. That'll be the URA stuff. Again, it's going to be Florence Motor Speedway and Southern National will share that as far as pit pass pricing goes. But Mike's going to have his structure of how his points work and how things
sure.
work.
Sure, but division-wise, we're still in a work in progress to get them both like identical.
Correct.
So you don't have to change anything over. You're just pretty much working on setup and nothing else.
Right. So, but again, Ultra Racing Association is something that is out there. We're excited about it. I think it's going to grow as we go along.
Sure.
But right now it's just a licensing thing. So get your license, make sure you're ready, especially top four divisions. That brings up Brian's logo on his microphone, Ultra Broadcasting. With that, we're working on some stuff for this year. Ultra Racing Association is the branding, and then Ultra Broadcasting is now our broadcasting platform. Ourselves and Southern National is going to do. So to get the icebreaker, you're going to go to ultrabroadcasting.com to watch the icebreaker. It's going to be you can purchase it for that single event, or you can buy the subscription for the year, and with that, or you can buy it monthly as a subscription. But with that, you're going to get our races, you're going to get all of Diaz's races at Southern National, the Speed Weeks. We're working again. There's a third track that we're working on putting in that same platform. And at some point, we see Ultra Racing Association's tracks being on that Ultra Broadcasting platform.
Right. The Icebreaker, I mean, that's an event in itself, I think, that you would want to subscribe. Mm-hmm. And then Speed Weeks, I mean, how many races are you getting for just in 1 week for one subscription?
Right.
I think it's a no-brainer personally.
Yeah, so and the idea, too, is to make sure that and I tell people this all the time. I kind of enjoy it. I kind of like this little camera stuff, and I enjoy the – Brian does a great job at his graphics, and we've got a lot of talented people that we know that can kind of put together a good broadcast. But I would love – it might not be the first one, and it'll be really, really close. I can promise you that because we're working really hard. That icebreaker, I want you to watch – one of our short track races and feel like you watched a cup race. You got your in-car cameras, you got your interviews with people. I mean, I really want to see Ultra Broadcast put out the product that everyone assumes it should be. And with that, it takes a lot of work. That's where Brian's going to take on a lot of the load, not that he hasn't in the first place, take a lot of load when it comes to the racetrack side, so I can kind of step back and focus on the broadcast. Because
I think that's why you're more interested in doing Ultra Broadcast.
Yes, I'll have to
you can probably
the
take a step back from the infield and all the griping and complaining that sometimes comes along
so
with
for
it.
For those watching, and he'll tell you right now, is like he says that, and that it is 100% true. But I've been doing that for about a year now. They come in yelling and they're like, "I want to talk." I'm like, "Well, talk to Brian."
Yeah, point straight to me.
Yeah, I'm like, go talk to Brian. I got nothing to do with
That's
it.
That's right.
but no, it's going to be fun. It's going to be a learning experience, and the big thing, some stuff, and we're. Joel Williamson, Drake Williamson. They've been kind enough to help us out because, you know, we had one thing at the 400 that was a big deal.
It was a very big deal.
And we're fixing that right now. We're putting fiber in, putting a backup Cat 6 in. It's all going to be buried. It's all going to be protected. So there's no fumbles there. But for those that are going to watch the Icebreaker, I hope you enjoy it. I want to make sure that the broadcast is the greatest thing you've seen in a long time. We're going to announce our announcer, which I think that's key. I think whenever we watch an event, we all pick apart the announcers. And I feel bad kind of for them because they sit and they do the best they can and they want to entertain. But it's easy for everyone, Monday morning quarterback, to sit back and talk about it. But the one that we'll announce on our next On Tap is going to be fun, man. It's somebody that I've known for a long time. It's somebody that everybody knows, and it's a talent that you know, it'll be surprising, I think, to everyone to see who's going to announce the Icebreaker.
Yep, and I mean the Ultra Broadcast goes just right with the Ultra Racing Association. There's going to be kinks. There's going to be things we had to work out. We don't want to keep it PG rated. If you've got a complaint about it the first weekend that we do it, help us out. Constructive criticism. That's what we look at.
Yep.
Anytime you say something, okay, it might be bad and it's derogatory and we don't want to read it, but we read it. And we try to make it better than what it's going to be. Somebody's complaining for a particular reason. They're not going to just complain to complain.
Right.
So we always want to make everything the best it possibly can be.
Yep, 100%. So with that kind of we've touched on just about everything we needed except for the Palmetto Clash that we're about to talk about. We've talked about the Icebreaker. We've talked about I-95 Showdown. We've now talked about URA and what that means. We've talked about Ultra Broadcasting. So that kind of takes us to our final conversation before we get to the finish here, is this year's point structure. We talked about it at the banquet. It's going to be the Palmetto Clash. We came up with that idea. Brian's got a cool logo. You'll see the graphic here on the broadcast. And that Palmetto Clash is built to make it where, you know, it's something that Brian and I have talked about for a long time. It's where, we keep landing back to Daytona 1 Beach Madness. But we got to Daytona 1 Beach Madness because everybody and their brother comes out and they're excited about the first half of the year. They're going to win the championship. And then all of a sudden, 2-3 races go by. And now all of a sudden, they're out of the championship. And they start kind of getting frustrated. And I got nothing to race for except for just racing. So how do you keep people wanting, again, go back to what we talked about earlier, we're not telling you have to race. We're trying to give you the reason to want to race. So when you come, you came because you want to, because of X, Y, and Z, and that's Brian and I's job. So with that, the Palmetto Clash comes up. With the Palmetto Clash, that gives you the opportunity, I think it's the first five races, there's a point structure.
Yep. So back to Steve's point, so we looked at the last couple of years, and every race date we had, they're typically the same time frame, might be a week or two different within a month. But you look at, we wrote down the car counts. And car counts always start great, like you said. And then they start dwindling about, May, June. Yeah. And then, for some reason, they start coming back later on.
Right.
And we get it. It gets hot, especially this time. I mean, the southeast racetracks that we have here, we're probably at the southern tip of that when it comes to late model stocks, Chargers, Super Trucks. Now, Georgia has some in Florida, but Florida does their season much earlier in the year because they are also mindful it gets really hot. So, yeah, we want to do something different this year. Like, if you only want to kind of go first half of the season, second half of the season, and then have a chance at the third half when you come – well, not half, but third part when you come back, I mean, there's a reason for that now. So the race totals for everything is going to be a little bit different. Late models, because we know that most of these guys do it full-time. Support divisions don't do it for a full-time job. They just have it as a hobby. So they won't have as many race counts, but yeah. So I think all of them are the first five will be round one. And then I want to say round two is, I mean, you have it there.
Yeah.
I think round two, late models are four, and then the other divisions maybe three or so.
Say that again. What was the question? Sorry. What'd you say?
Literally, we're talking about Palmetto Clash.
I'm reading it. What was your question?
How many races are in each round?
Where is it on your list?
I feel like we're cutting this part of the segment.
No, we're putting it in there. This is supposed to be the part of it. Here we go. Points will reset. So let me just read your post.
Oh, now it's back on me.
But no, let's read your post. So new for 2025, it's the Palmetto Clash. It's only going to be good, first off, for our main divisions. Your late model stocks.
The URA guys.
Yeah, the URA. Yep, Super Trucks, Chargers, and mini stocks. The drivers have to have the URA license, which we talked about.
Yep.
The Palmetto Clash structure point season will begin on March 1st. and end on September 13th.
Yep.
The season will be split into three rounds of each of the four divisions. So three rounds. Your each individual race will reward finishing points as follows. Which, so Brian, you'll see it on the right here. It's just underneath us.
Something also strikes me. This is the first time you read it.
No, I read it. I liked it. It's a good idea. But again, it's right here. Point structure: 25, and then goes down to 15, and then or 15th place, and then two on back. So we used to be 32 every single week, and Brian focused on making sure that you're not at a negative whenever you show up. Like, right. So you backed up the winner's points to be able to say if you didn't come, you didn't lose X, Y, and Z.
Right. You got to pay respects to the people that come every single week. You can't just say we're starting from last. I mean, granted, NASCAR has done it, and it's worked for them.
Yep.
Don't get me wrong. But we got to be a little bit different. We can't be a copycat. We can't do everything the same way NASCAR does it. So you can't just start from last and say two. So some particular divisions, unfortunately, like the trucks, I mean, hopefully we get them back. But there's only four or five sometime.
Yep.
But them guys are coming. They can't help nobody else came with them. So they win and only get 10 points. But not in this format.
Right. So then it moves on to the top five drivers with the most accumulated points at the end of their division. First round will advance the final round as the 1 through 5 seed. So the top five drivers in the first round will automatically be within the first 1 to 5 seed, right?
Yep. And we'll have to break down for each division on the website here where you'll see what races you are. I think last year I made it as a spreadsheet, and yep. There was an X on a date. And that'll be the same thing. You can look and see when you're running. But the cutoff for the rounds are the same. So, like, no beyond this date. That you'll see round one, round two, round three.
And then points will reset for round two and follow the same format for a few races that will result with five more drivers being added to the final round as seeds 6 through 10. So, again, 1 through 5 made it in round 1. They get, and we'll talk about the bonus points here in the next segment, by being a participant throughout the season, you get bonus points to get to the end of the year. But you automatically are in from the first round if you're in top 5. Now you're fighting for 6 through 10, and then 6 through 10 will make it into our final round. And with that, we're trying to make it where even if you're 10th, you have a chance to fight for the championship. Yep. You're not 197 points away. You might be 30.
Right. Well, first of all, you made it. And, right. I mean, by the way, the seeding works. If you're the 10th seed and the first seed made it from the first round, you're a certain amount of points behind them. But if you race all year long and the first seed who transferred from the first round says, I'm in, I'm good, I'm not even going to race round two. Well, they're not going to get as many bonus points for showing up every week. So you're going to have an advantage when it comes to that.
I wanted to go into tell me more. Did you get very far?
I'm asking you as you first read it.
I read it.
This is not the first time.
I'm telling you, I read it.
Take your word for it.
Anyways. So then the final round will begin with the first seed at 10 points on down. So basically 10th will be 10, last will be 1, right?
I think that's how math works.
Tell me more. But with that being said, you'll get 2 bonus points for every race you ran. So if you ran 10 races, you get 20 bonus points. If you started or you're first, you get 30 to start the season, correct?
Yep. As long as, like I said, the number of races for a division matches up to that. But, yes, that math works.
Thanks.
But 10th could start, so theoretically, could start pretty close to what the number one seed is.
Right.
Just because they race every race and the first one didn't.
Yeah, so say so-and-so races only the first 5 races,
yep.
And then they race the rest of them. We have 10 races. You gain 2+ every single
That's
time.
Right.
Yep. So I read this. I read it.
Sounds like it.
No, I did. Hold on. Tell me. Sorry, I'm trying. Now I'm trying.
I feel like we need a break for Steve to decipher what he's reading. But.
I'm trying to get the dates and stuff. March 1st through July 19th. I'm just trying to get the – so what is the final round? That's what I was trying to – I couldn't remember the dates of the final round.
I believe the final round is just 3 races.
Yep.
I don't know.
Easy with the cursors. Now
no,
you
I
ruined
know
it.
We're cutting it.
Now you ruined it.
Because I said don't bring up the specifics.
I'm beeping it. I can get the beep in there. There will be a final round date that we'll put out later. After 3 races, the driver with the most accumulated points will be crowned.
I believe actually on the bottom left of that, it says round 1, round 2,
oh, yeah, it is.
Round 3.
See, yeah. why'd you have to curse?
Because I made it a while back.
March 1st. I thought round
my
one.
My colleague read it.
I did read it.
But he did not.
It's March 1st, March 17th, or May 17th, sorry, it was round one. May 24th, July 19th, round two. And then August 2nd to September 13th is your championship round.
There you go.
So that's on that flyer. That's
you answered
right,
your own question.
Right there. Well, nice. I don't. I am going to beep out your F word. That cursing. Jeez.
I hope that broadcast is good.
So let's go to the tiebreakers, right? So the final kind of piece of this Palmetto Clash is tiebreakers. The highest average finish of races completed to that point is tiebreaker number one. Highest average finish of races completed. So all of your races averaged out. Tiebreaker two, highest average start of races completed to that point. So your qualifying efforts could play out if there's a tiebreaker. And then so when it comes to this, again, we're going to have the post and we're going to have the image right here at the bottom of the screen. You know, the idea, again, goes back to we were joking around with it. Like, he made it. I did read it. But when it comes to it, it's
just now. He just now read it.
I got it now. It sounds great, actually. It's a really cool idea. But it's going to be fun, I really think. I think the other divisions, are we sticking with the 25-point system?
Yeah, so whatever the point structure is within each race for this will be for all the other divisions, the Legends, the Bandoleros, the Street Stocks, Thunder and Lightning, and Limited Late Models. That should be all we have.
Yep.
And once again, we got to touch on URA. You have to have a license for this, but Southern National may do their own different point structure.
Yep.
The only thing that we're synonymous with is the I-95 Showdown.
Yep. So I think the Palmetto Clash is going to be fun. Again, it's something new that we're trying. It's something new that, you know, Brian and I kind of sat down and made sense of. So we're looking forward to it. We're going to put it out there. It's going to be on a social media post. But right now we're just out here talking about it, having a good time.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah.
But I probably won't be back, but it's fun.
Yeah, it's first and only time on. So we got to scratch off Brian on the
we'll put duct tape on your
the on
logo.
Tap.
That's cool.
But no, it's going to be fun, and I think Palmetto Clash will be a success. It's going to give everybody a chance. We really just want everyone to want to come here. We want to make sure that when it's the end of the season, you don't feel like you're completely out of it and you're only here for that win. And the thing we're about to talk about again here after the break is going to be the reason we want everyone throughout the field to fight for everything. So when you come to the racetrack, it's not just because you want to show up and you want to race. We want the point structure. We want the things that you're racing for to mean something no matter what position you're in. It's tough. It's tough for us to be in first all the time.
And to add to your point, everybody, Palmetto Clash, also don't stress. I mean, this format here, you don't have to make it every single week.
Right.
Now, you will get paid respect for doing so, but, I mean, we got to keep the fun factor in racing.
Yeah, of course.
I think so long you see that people are doing it, and the financial aspect of it's getting outrageous, and it's taking the fun out of it.
Mm.
I mean, racing should be fun. It's a hobby.
Yep.
I mean, for some, probably teams, it's their way of living, but I don't know about the guys that do it in the backyard and this and that, and we got to keep them in it.
Yep.
That's the only way it'll grow from.
Of course. So that's Palmetto Clash. We've kind of knocked out a bunch of the things we had on our list. We got one more that I'd like to talk about before we finish this show. But I think our first, besides me beeping out his F word.
Could you, what you're about to talk about, could you share it? Because I need to read it the first time too while we're live.
No, I read it, I swear I did. But we're going to come back one last time. We're going to say goodbye, but we're going to finish off with what I think is my favorite part of the season coming up. And I think you're going to like it too. So stay tuned, we got a little bit more on tap. And we'll be right back. All right, welcome back to On Tap with Steve and Brian. We've had a great episode one so far. I'm going to get Brian a much nicer mic for next time. He kind of got shafted there a little bit.
Sorry.
But
represent, man. UB, Ultra Broadcasting.
Yeah, Ultra Broadcasting, coming to you in 2025. But we talked about, we had a chance to kind of touch on all the cool things, the Icebreaker, the I-95 Showdown. We just spoke about the Palmetto Clash and what that means. Again, I did pay attention. I did read it. I understand what's happening.
Yeah, I got upset. Sorry. But I tend to get upset.
Yeah, but it's going to be a great season. I think the Palmetto Clash will be something that everyone's going to look back and like, that's perfect. That's exactly how it needs to be. Because I've told you before, I'm not a huge NASCAR fan when it comes to their point structure. I still lean back on Matt Kenseth being the last true champion when it comes to that stuff. But this fits in perfect for our world. Our guys don't have the chance to race every single week. They don't have the money to race every single week. And the Palmetto Clash gives them the opportunity to take that where they don't have to do it all the time, but they still have a shot at it when it comes to the end of the year. When it comes to the payout side of the point structure for our top four, it's the same as it was the last year's. We're still going to send checks out the same amount of money. So if you finished first before in late models, or you finished third before in late models, or you finished first in mini stocks before, we're going to adapt the same payout structure when it comes to end of year.
Yeah, and I think that's actually kind of fluctuated the last couple of years. I could be wrong with NASCAR, but we'll have signage. It'll show it. Like,
yep.
This is what you'll get. This is the date it will be sent out. So at the end of the year, there will be no like, has that been sent out? Has this been sent out? Like, we will show you all so everybody is on the same page what we're paying and when you'll get it.
Yep, 100%. And, you know, in addition to that, all the other divisions, so something fun that we're going to add to it here in just a second, we'll talk about is that we'll still have our banquet for all divisions. Everyone's going to be able to come out, celebrate Legends, Bandos, Street Stocks, Thunder and Lightning, all the support divisions outside the top four. You're going to have your day to shine. You're going to have your moment where we're going to go to Hartsville Country Club. You know, Bobby's going to give us the same, you know, high dollar experience that we had.
Hospitality,
just the other day.
Yeah. As well as the top four divisions. Like, they can still,
yeah, yeah.
Everything will be still open for everybody.
Yep. But with that, the cool thing for this year that I'm super excited about is that for our top four divisions this year, the top three in each division are going to have the opportunity to join us. We're covering it when it comes to first, second, third for all four divisions. You and one other, and if you got kids, like, your kids will be part of that. If you want to add into this, we'll talk about it in a second. But the four divisions, top three, are going to be joining us on a cruise, Royal Caribbean, January 10th through the 15th. Explorer of the Sea is going to be the boat we're going to be on. We're going to leave out of Port Canaveral. Again, January 10th through the 15th, we understand and we know that we don't know who those top three are going to be, but we will know come September 13th.
Right.
So September 13th, we'll know. You'll have the ability to add in any guests that you'd like, and it's going to be at our discounted rate. So if you're somebody that makes the top three and you want your team members to come, you'll let us know and you'll get that discounted rate. We're not going to pay for the extras, but we're going to have a room on the boat. We're going to have a chance to have a banquet. We're going to have a chance to celebrate together out in the ocean. We're going to go to Coco Cay for those that have ever been on a Royal Caribbean cruise. Coco Cay is one of their islands, and it's super cool. Got a big slide, a bunch of different things to do. Cozumel is the other one.
I seen you lit up about Coco Cay, so definitely alcohol has got Coco Cay.
100%.
Yeah, okay.
The whole thing has alcohol.
4th of July, you just lit
up.
Cool.
They have, anyways, yeah, I won't get into details. I love some Coco Cay.
Tell me more about Coco Cay.
Tell me more. But no, so it's going to be, all the teams are going to be able to be on the same boat at the same time. We're going to have a banquet for the top four divisions, as well as the I-95 Showdown. The top three of the I-95 Showdown are going to be a part of it. But man, I just, you know, I've talked about it 100 times. I really think when you work so hard all year long and you have that chance to celebrate, the thing that, number one, you shouldn't be doing anyways, right? Like, you and I know, like, we love to race, but it's expensive. We've all got real lives. Yeah. You know, it's something that you work tirelessly to get the car ready, to get to the racetrack, to make it work. And we want to be able to give them the opportunity to celebrate it. And I think I've had a great time at Charlotte when it comes to the NASCAR banquets. I've had a great time at Nashville. But there hasn't been a division or a series that has put someone on a boat to go celebrate.
Man, you put in, don't hold me to the number, but let's say 200 days in a year just to get that opportunity. Why only celebrate one night?
Right.
Let's give you a little bit more than that.
100%.
Yep.
Yep. And I think it's going to be fun because you'll be on the boat. You'll see all your friends. You'll see all your competitors. And then we'll have a chance to go celebrate it in a room together. We'll talk about the night.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we're at a situation where if you're running good and you're competitive, I mean, and you think you're going to have more people, go ahead and get some rooms. That's going to be an additional to what we already have provided. And then if you make it, then we'll reimburse you that.
Yeah, of course.
So, but the rooms are already accounted for, so then we can open that up. Like, we own them at that point to somebody else who wants to come. Yep. I mean, how great would it be if the cruise just becomes a whole racing cruise?
Yeah.
Like, everybody on that cruise ship is racing related.
Yep.
Now, there may be some rivalries and somebody may fall overboard, but that's for a different day.
And I'm not sure that the cruise ship's ready for that, but...
that's a true story, too.
We have to take off that the beer limit. I believe they have. Yeah. I think we have to change the alcohol level when it comes to the cruise ship. But
beer limit, I'm an amigo.
but I'm telling you right now, like it's super exciting. It's a done deal. January 10th through the 15th, Royal Caribbean, Explorer of the Sea. It's happening for our top three of all four divisions. But again, I'll kind of step back and say you have to have your URA license. Yep. So if you finish first in the season and you didn't purchase your URA license by the deadline, second place gets your first place.
And I can't say how many seasons that we've had where, I mean, they're on us and we have to get to the drivers. Like, you have to get a license, have to get a license. At the end of the year, the driver comes to us and say, I didn't get a check. Well, we've been on you all year long about getting a license.
Yep.
I don't think we'll be as persistent as NASCAR was, which obvious reasons they have to be.
Of course.
But we're going to put it out there, get a license. And we're going to tell you for the first couple of times because everything's new. But if you don't get licensed at some point, it's on you.
Yeah, it's on you.
We've done everything we can. It's advertised. It's published. We're telling you at the gate. But there's going to be a stopping point for all that.
Of course. And again, the cruise ship side, I would ask that anyone that is attempting to be a part of the cruise ship and wants to get in the top three, let us know kind of a rough idea of who you'd have. Because, again, we've got a block of rooms that are taken up, but if we need to get some more to secure everyone coming and having a good time, again, this is different than going to Hartsville Country Club. We've got enough to cover everything we've just said, but at the end of the day, like, when we get really close, we can't promise nothing, right? It's the cruise ship. It's their deal.
If they all make it and there's rivalries, we can promise your room assignment. So we will make sure that if you have beef with somebody else, are neighbors.
Yeah, you're staying with.
I mean, we're going to make it exciting, right? Yeah. We have to. There's got to be drama.
We're bringing the cameras.
Oh yes.
but again, I really think it's something new. It's something unique. It brings kind of something special to the URA brand. It brings something special to Florence Motor Speedway. Because I'm telling you right now, for those that have ever been on a cruise ship, I know Brian has. Man, it's a super good time. But just think about the fact that, like, you get up at whatever time in the morning and you go see someone that races with you, or you go down to the casino and you see someone that races with you, and you can get a beer and you can go out and dance and do all the goofy stuff that they put on with your buddies. Because we've all been on cruise ships and we know our family, but we don't know everybody. But right. You walk around that and now there's 50 of us.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to see someone you know. You're going to have a good time. And I'm looking forward to it.
I think we'll find that the excursions, the families get off, but all the drivers and team members will stay on the cruise ship.
Yeah. But again, the cruise ship deal is a done deal. So our top four divisions, the top three of them, the winners, second, third, will get a room covered by us. We'll book blocks of room as we need. But we need everyone as we get closer. And again, you'll have from September 13th, which is the final day of our Palmetto Clash, till January 10th to figure that out.
Right.
But as soon as September 13th happens, and as we get closer, you'll have a rough idea, obviously, of who's going to be a part
of
that.
The I-95 showdown is a little bit different. Of course, that goes later in the season to the Thanksgiving Classic.
Yeah.
But top three from that as well. So also play it by ear.
Yes.
I mean, if you can make it, you'll get reimbursed. And if not, you can still come celebrate with your colleagues and everybody you race against all year long.
Yep. So, but as we get closer to the end of the year, and even right now, if you feel like it's something you have a chance at, just kind of put that in your brain. So, because you kind of take those days off, right? So January 10th through the 15th.
I would hope so. Or you might not be coming back to a job.
Yeah. So just be prepared for that. I'm excited about it. I think it's gonna be super cool this year. But man, what a first episode. Right? Anything else that you'd like to add into this before we end?
Well, we've shared some laughs. We've had some feuds already. I mean, I'm questioning coming back for the second episode. Might have to change the whole logo, but I'm just kidding. We'll be back. We got to work through kinks. Like, we touched on it with the URA. We touched on with the Palmetto Clash. We touched on with the Ultra Broadcasting. Everything is going to have some kinks. A lot of it's new this year in 2025. But I think we like adversity. We like going up against something that there's the unknown. And I feel like our track history shows that we do pretty well against it.
Yep. And I think for those that have known Brian and I long enough, we do stuff outside the box, and whenever we do it 100%, and we'll make sure that it's exactly how it's
supposed to be. And to that point, no better person that you would want to partner up with on all that than Michael Diaz.
Oh, of course, yeah. No, Southern National and Diaz, the whole family has been great, and they're going to be a part of this URA. They're going to be a part of the Ultra Broadcasting, being part of the stream. Hopefully they're going to join us on the cruise ship. We're looking forward to it. For those just kind of learning about this cruise ship side, top four divisions, definitely start kind of processing that. Get ready for January. I know it's a long ways away, but it's something to think about. Who wants to come? There's a lot of details to it, but I'm excited. Brian and I both do the best we can to make this fun. Again, this is a hobby for 95% of the people that race with us. So we want, when this is said and done, that you did it for a reason. You had a chance to have fun day of, but when it's all said and done, you made your money, you've made your commitments, and you had a good time. Ultra Broadcasting, I promise you right now, the one thing I'll say about Ultra Broadcasting is that your sponsors will not regret it. We're going to make sure that they get the exposure that they need. Anyone out there that needs their sponsors to be promoted in a different way, please let myself, Joe Malish with Topper Media know. We'll make sure that they're out there. We'll make sure they get on social media. I think that's something that we say in our drivers' meetings, we talk about, but people don't take advantage of, is that we have 27,000 people that follow our page. If you just tell us, we'll make sure that they get out on our socials.
I don't think, you can put us up against anybody. And some people will beat us in some regards, in some categories. But the passion, I don't think you're going to compete with us.
No.
I mean, I hate to toot our own horn, but we're very passionate about this. This is all we know.
Yep. And we love it. And we look forward to this season. We're going to be back next week. We're going to talked about it earlier. Next week, hopefully, we'll have our host for the Icebreaker. Will join us on our second episode of On Tap. But thank you for joining us. Thanks for being a part of this. I'll have to edit it a little bit, probably break it down a little, try to make it time friendly. But thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next week on Tap.